Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Not a week goes by unless you hear us. Yes, world. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn and Joe! Carolyn and Joe Show, my name is Joe Carabay. I'm a filmmaker, director, photographer, writer, and I'm definitely in the band Monday Mistress. And across me in the studio today is the wonderful, super talented, you must know her, we all know her, the cartoonist, the designer, her name is Carolyn Bilewski. How are you doing, Carolyn?
I'm doing fine.
We're almost there. We are days away from the end of 2015. Are you excited? Is the world going to blow up again?
It might.
It just might, man.
It just might be the end. Every day we're growing closer to the end.
Every day could be the end, if you think about it. World, we are right now, we're listening to the Hateful Eight soundtrack. I do not know how to pronounce the name of the title.
You should try it.
It's Ultima de Gonzalez de Rock soundtrack.
Was that like four words or one word?
I have no clue. I think it's in Italian. Definitely go out there.
I don't really know anything in Italian.
Besides
a meatball and the spaghetti.
I remember last week at the when we're sitting in the suite, the Verizon, the MCI Center, when we got those sweet tickets.
Sweet tickets.
The sweet tickets. And you were saying you're doing that hand motion of like the get out of here. And
it's like you put your fingers under your chin and you flick them.
Yeah, and that's an Italian thing, right?
Get out of here. I think it means more of like an F you.
Yeah, it's F you.
I was doing that for fun. I've never actually seen anybody in real life do that to someone else. I've seen multiple middle fingers in the air.
Yeah,
but I've never seen anybody do a chin F you the Italian way.
Well, I feel like I was like, when you were doing that, let me fix this music somehow. When you were doing that, I was like, no, don't do that. Right?
Yeah.
Hold on, let me get these tunes up.
Technical difficulties on the Carolyn and Josh.
That's just how it is with this music these days. These chords. This is episode 360, and I don't know if you guys have noticed, but for a while, sometimes these things go in and out. Because we've been doing this for over 360 episodes. And we are still using the same gear that we did pretty much since day one. I think there have been some evolutions. Really, a new mixing board. And, you know, because we used to have bed music. And then it starts with the, we used to burn CDs, if people remember what those are. CDs.
What's a CD?
Yeah, what's a DVD? And that used to be our bed music. And now we're playing it. We usually play it through the computer, and we just play it at real low audio.
Since the cord is messing up, this should be the opportunity where we ask people to give us money.
Give us money. But it's not really. It's really.
Because that's what other people do.
It's really an exercise. It's a massive exercise for me to see how I can like multitask.
Do we even have a donate page on our site?
I don't know.
I think we should. Because you never know. Like, what if somebody out there is like, hey, I can throw them a bone.
Let me throw them a bone.
Yeah. And then they're like, yes.
Let me throw them a bone.
Let me help this show because I'm a big fan.
Yeah. I'd say that'd be the best way to go.
Well, I think if we don't already have it, which I don't know if we do or not, but we should have a donate page or a donate little button on our carolynandjoeshow.com.
I actually don't know what the tech... There it is.
Oh.
That's what it is.
Oh.
Same chords. Same chord. This is the Carolyn's News. But even though since Carolyn's news, do we have news? What news do we have?
Well, I guess I'll throw out that it's your last opportunity to take part in our first ever holiday sale with a promo code online. You can go to carolynbilewski.com/store to check out all the goodies. We have original comic books that Joe has written that I've illustrated. We have prints, we have t-shirts, we have button packs, we have lots of fun stuff. And if you use promo code HOLIDAY15, you will receive 15% off your total order between now and the end of the year. So you have a handful more of days to take part in this awesome sale. That's our big news.
That's the big news. But didn't you have do we have any shows coming up? Or they're all in 2016?
We do have them in 2016. I think the earliest is May. So I feel like it's a little too early.
That's way early. January, February, March, April, May. That's five months from now. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little early, so I'm not going to announce all the tour dates because it's a little early to start planning. Even though I've already planned out our whole schedule for 2016, I'm already on top of it.
When it comes to promoting, because like a lot of times that's why this podcast is amazing for us, because, you know, it's no secret. We get to also promote and people get to hear us talk and we get to be real with them, you know, even though they're not here, but we try to be as real as possible. Like, from learning to do like promotion and stuff like that, how long do you think is the best time to promote like a show like that you've learned throughout? Because pretty much every year we've promoted like multiple things, right?
Yeah, we have tons of stuff to promote. It's good like that month leading into it, but people are, you know, going to forget. They really only remember like the weekend coming up. Or you just have to keep reemphasizing.
Yeah.
Just keep saying it over and over again.
So I remember there was a time, like, back in the day of MySpace, where the design of the website of their, I guess it would just be a site, you know, but their feed, you know, it was almost like a Twitter feed.
Calendar?
Yeah, where it's a Twitter feed that, like, this stuff would just, like, fly by. You post something, and I remember, you know, you post it, and then, like, two later, you can actually see it move, go down the line. You know, but do you know what I'm talking about with MySpace? And I remember from back in the day when I was posting, like when I had a movie premiere or like Project Resolution or anything, like a filming coming up or it was a casting and stuff like that, that we had to post it. And then I'd see someone else associate with me post it again. And I would ask them, like, why do you keep posting it? He's like, because it keeps disappearing. So it's like we'd have to keep posting it over and over again for a certain amount of time.
And hopefully people have a high tolerance for that, because a lot of people would be like sick of that or defriend you.
Oh, they had no one had any tolerance for it, because they would always say, like, this is why I think maybe these days I don't get offended, or maybe I just feel like, you know, I'm trying to feel the audience out a little bit, how they react. But like, I feel like whenever I hear people say like, oh yeah, I always see you posting, you know, I always see you guys doing all these things, and part of me feels like I am I being annoying? You know what I mean? If they say that and they always see that, does that get annoying? Is that something when you see people like post a lot? I don't even know if that can happen now on Facebook because the way the algorithm is, but if you see someone post a lot, do you find them annoying?
No, but I have noticed that when people do find something somewhat annoying, like usually I'm pretty happy for people, because people on Facebook and I guess MySpace back in the day, you're obviously carving a life that you want to be presented as. So no one's really posting, at least if they're in the right mind, you're not posting negative stuff that happened. You're not like, I got in a fight today with my husband and this is so terrible, I can't believe he said that to me.
There
are people that do post that, and I have heard and seen of couples that have had a verbal written fight on Facebook.
A verbal written fight? You mean like a...
like a back and forth.
It's just
forth.
Like a message, like they're messaging. It's like almost like a text
public,
message.
But it's public.
It's like a public text message back and forth, right?
I guess.
That's pretty much what I feel like a tweet is. It's like it's a public text. It's a text message to the world.
Yeah. And I view those as like mini press releases. And I don't know. It's pretty amazing, because I feel like if you're having that much of an intimate conversation with somebody, you shouldn't really post it online, but I have heard of people doing that, like airing out their grievances online.
But I feel like, do you think that's like a tactic, like a relationship tactic? Like if you see...
I think it's immature.
It is. I mean, I feel like there's a certain level of maturity too, but you know, when you see people that are in a, like say like in a public surround, a public, I don't know, like a restaurant or a mall or something like that. And you know, you can see people, you know, they're talking quietly, but you can tell they're upset. But then you see that one person all of a sudden like, why? So no one will find out? Or they, you know, like they speak louder to just get the attention, to put the pressure on someone, on the other person that they're battling.
That's pretty embarrassing too.
Yeah, like they're trying to inflict the embarrassment so they can get the upper hand. Do you think that's what like the postings are when people are getting personal out there?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that, do you think that's a workable tactic that people can use?
It's very respectful if you have a fight, you know, you need to control the fight and not bring other people into it. And like, you don't want to air out your dirty laundry in front of everyone.
But that's the thing that people do. I've seen them do that. Majority of the time I see women do that a lot. I've heard like even like comedic stand-up talk a lot about that. It's like, you ever see a woman, you know, you don't want them to get loud like in the middle because then it gets embarrassing. Like, I feel like that's... like the embarrassment is a tactic.
I feel
like it's a parenting tactic too.
I've also seen somebody on Facebook, I guess, I don't know the full situation, but they have a child And then they have, I guess they never married the father of the child, but then the father of the child wasn't paying child support.
It's a common thing,
wasn't
right?
Wasn't really contributing, wasn't being a dad, and she was like airing out a lot of stuff.
And is it to that point?
And
there
were some comments underneath that people were like, is this something that you should be posting on Facebook? They were kind of like hinting, like, keep it to yourself type thing, you know? And
see, comments are interesting like that too, because you can tell the sides people take. And a lot of times I feel like majority of the people will, if someone's posting something bad about them, they're probably going to take their side. They're like, say prayers for me because I'm about to go to a test and I feel horrible and I didn't have sleep. Like, send all your hopeful prayers and stuff to me. I saw a whole lot of that.
I think most people do try to put a presence that is them for real, but they try to make it seem grander than it is. Or you only see the good stuff.
Yeah.
That, and then you're like, man, that person must have a fabulous life. But you don't see, you know, something bad that might have happened in their life. You just don't see, you know, everybody's got stuff good and bad going on in their life, but there are some people that overly post the really happy stuff, and then you don't see the negatives of their life. And I'm sure their life isn't perfect.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you see all their vacations and, like, perfect family or something like that. But I think people mostly get upset. I think if you post every day about the same thing, people can easily get turned off.
Yeah.
But it has to be done in an entertaining way. Like, if you're promoting a Kickstarter or something like that, like, that's a month worth of promoting. And that's something you have to do because you can't let that slide. You got to let people know about it.
Yeah, because it's hard. It is, like, if you forget, you know, like, not posting once is not enough a lot of times, you know.
You have to post, like, every day. It's like, I try to do different times of the day because maybe somebody would come in at 5 p.m. every day right after they got out of work.
Because it's true. Just the amount of content that people have to absorb a day, they're not going to really pay attention to it, or they're really not just going to see it. So it's like when it comes to promoting, it's like, what movie did we see? We just saw Joy, right? We saw Joy, and in Joy, they have a scene. Joy is an amazing movie. I think everyone should pretty much see it. It was a tough battle to see what's great movies these days, but Joy is probably up. I mean, did you enjoy Joy? Did you enjoy Joy?
Yeah, I liked it.
Now, there's that scene in Joy where I think, I'm not going to say anything, but one of the characters says it takes people like 8 reminders to get it into their head.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's
something? I believe that.
Do you think that's true? Like, does that work?
Yeah, I believe that. People aren't necessarily going to do something the first time.
Yeah.
Especially
even like a direction or something.
If they haven't heard
like
about it.
Yeah.
Mostly, it would take really word of mouth from a very good friend, I think, is the highest level of participation in a brand. But I feel like you have to see the logo everywhere, and if everyone else is doing it, then you're going to do it.
Is that
a lot of people are really structured like that.
Do you think that's a reason why even like big brands are still they're still promoting themselves everywhere, even though everyone knows what Coke is or everyone knows what Verizon is? But
you
still
can
like
see a Coke ad before a movie and like see the polar bears or Santa, and it makes you all warm, and then you're like, oh man, I don't care about this next trailer. I'm going to go run and get a Coke real quick.
So do you think that like
they might get a sale just right then?
Because, you know, there's a lot of people out there in this world, you know, and for some reason now these days, I don't. Because I guess we live like in a really commercialized world, and people really are against that. But I feel like I'm in that middle zone where I understand it, but also I can battle. I can have enough. I feel like I have enough willpower to not buy a Coke, to not buy something that people are probably shoving in my face.
But it's still another reminder because you're like, oh yeah, Coke's still here.
But do you think so? Do you think like the Mad Men, that way of thinking, like, do you think that like works? It's like, you know, they're advertising like a lifestyle, and they're, you know, people are like that. They're like, buy a Lexus. You're a rich snob now.
I think people are really into Lexus because it's not actually, from what I hear, the Lexus, I don't think I've ever been in a Lexus, but from what I hear, it's not necessarily any better than another car.
Well,
I mean, sure, it's better than lots of cars, but it's not necessarily better than something that is a lot less money.
I don't
but
know. How good do you think...
It's a luxury driving.
Like, if someone were to describe to you, like, how... Because we have... You have your car, which is, you know, a really good, solid car. It feels really good to have a car, you know? There's nothing wrong with it. My car is good. It has its history, and it's awesome. But how good does a car have to like really be to be like, wow, this is the lap of luxury? You know what I mean? Like, what does it have to do?
I mean,
like,
one of my former bosses had a car. You know the, I don't know what it's actually called, but in between the front seats, there's like a little lift that you can put secret things in. Like a little bucket.
What?
You know, in between, a bucket? In between the
like
front
in the armrest?
Yeah.
Like there's like a,
There's like
I don't even know what that's called. That, we all have it though, right?
Yeah, most cars have it.
Like, and they have like cup holders in there too?
Yeah. So he apparently had a refrigerator there, a mini fridge.
Like a legit, like this is cold refrigerator?
I guess you could put maybe, I don't think it fit that much. Maybe you could probably fit like three drinks in there.
So is having things like that, is that equal like the lap of luxury? Is that like...
I mean, if you want your drinks cold, then that's something nice you could have. You could have a sunroof.
That's like, to
there's
me, that's
some people that think that that's very nice.
That's like equivalent to like, remember back in the day, like, oh, you can have a cell phone and like you have a phone in the car and like, oh shit, we can make some calls, dude.
I mean, remember leather seats. A lot of people love the leather seats.
I don't really like, see, like me when I got my car, I didn't really want leather seats because I know what happens in the heat and I'm just like, ugh, it's just gonna stick to me. It's gonna feel like crap. Well, also the truck I had before was just like fabric or whatever it is, and I was like, oh, this is nice and soft, you know. So switching over was a little bit of a challenge. But like, I remember when I did have, like, when my family, like, I don't even know how we got like that car phone.
The car phone?
Yeah, that's what it is. We had a car phone.
When?
Like back in the early 90s.
Wow.
I don't even know how that even, I think that
so
was.
So you had a phone in your car before everyone else had a cell phone?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, but I don't think we had it long. It might have been like a trial period, but I remember having it and like, this is so great. This is so great. But then like, we didn't really use it. There wasn't something like, we should call somebody. I was like, well, no one else has a phone right now.
You could do business meetings in there.
Yeah, you can. And it felt like, I don't know. It's, I feel like when things get to a lap of luxury, I guess, whatever the luxury level is, I find myself not like when you get like a full featured car, is that what they call it?
A future car.
No, a full, like a fully featured, like it's has all the features that can come with. Like, oh, you can get the multi-disc thing, you get the seat warmers, you get the, I don't know.
Well, I think seat warmer could be nice.
But like when you get to that level, I find like there's a lot of things I just don't end up using.
Mm-hmm. I think what the cars need is a jacuzzi.
Does the limos have jacuzzis or some longer car? Can, you know, you take it to the prom.
What if you got one that drove itself and you could just sit in there like a casket and sleep?
But see, like, I'm a little afraid of getting anything liquid in a car because, like, you know, the way I drive is not exactly the smoothest way of driving, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People are going to go flying around in there. I'm going to, like, shut down that party real fast.
I think it's meant for cruising down the Vegas Strip.
Well, we're not on the Vegas Strip. We're in the D.C. area, most... horrendous. Imagine if you're on the number one traffic in the world, Route 66, and then you pull up to someone and they're just like in a jacuzzi. And he's like, well, we're gonna be in this traffic for like over an hour. Might as well sit
Why
in there.
Why not? That'd be amazing.
Is that something you want? You want a jacuzzi in the car?
No, I don't really want it. I feel like
what is the dream
cool.
car scenario then?
It would
then?
Be cool to use like once. And then I'd be like, I'm over it.
Yeah, see, that's exactly what happens everything.
I think that actually the heated seats sound pretty nice.
Even, like, to me, even the, what's it called? The what's the window above?
Sky viewer. Sunroof.
Sky viewer.
I'm going to call it the sky viewer.
Yeah, even, like, the sunroof. Like, I don't know. I don't even find a use for that. I don't really have anything.
Like, it would sun damage your skin.
Yeah. I'm like, I barely even want sun in the car, let alone that. I'm just a different beast altogether.
Have you ever seen online, there was something that was going around that it was viral. It was this old man who was a truck driver. And of course, you know, truck driver's going to be in the car a lot, going to get a lot of sun on him. So his whole left side and, like, left part of his face was like really sun damage, but then the right side looked whatever normal, you know. So basically, he was like a two-face. Have you ever seen that guy?
No.
There's an image of him online.
Like he looks like a burn victim.
Yeah, I'm sure if you googled like sunburned truck driver, it might pop up.
And like, is he like just looks like that forever?
Yeah.
What happened to him?
It looks like two-face.
What happened?
Just like
to
one
him?
Side of his face looks normal, and the other side has like sun spots, wrinkles, and like it just. I guess while he was in like, the truck, he got a lot of sun.
Like he's like the epitome of like before and after.
Yeah, pretty much. He looks like a before-after picture, but without any Photoshop or face-off slicing.
Face-off slicing?
Yeah, like one side is John Travolta, the other side is Nick Cage.
Which is which?
Which is which? We'll which never
is,
know.
Which is the damaged side? Who represents the damaged side? And who represents
well, I guess technically Nick Cage's character was the bad one.
But like, if you compare his face to John Travolta, John Travolta is the least damaged of the face?
Yeah.
Good old John Travolta.
That's what it looked like. I'll try to show you that image later. We'll try to look for it.
I feel like... I don't know. I'd like a car with a little bit of... I just need to just, you know, be strong.
I don't even think that the 10 CD changer is... I mean, it's cool and all, but I don't necessarily think it's that great. I mean, you can always press eject and put in a new CD.
Yeah. Well, this day and age is pointless.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting, though, how just maybe 6 years ago that was, like, the hot shit? That was like, oh, man, look at this.
I mean, that...
CD has 7 CDs.
I mean, it did last a long time, though. That was a good...
I was actually afraid of those because I thought, like, what if it didn't rotate and then your CD's, like, stuck
No, that
in
would
there.
Happen many times. That would happen many... Well, actually, it's like... Well, you have those types of ones where it's in the front. You know, like, you can, like, put the CDs in the front and it's just a big rotating wheel, like, in the front radio. Mm-hmm. But then I've been in many cars back in the day where it was actually, like, a... I guess you'd say, like, a booklet of CDs. Like, it was like a container.
Like a jukebox.
No, not a jukebox, but it was like a, you know, it's just like, it's, you can actually take out the discs. Not the discs, but it's like, it's like a holder that you would insert in the back. So it would take it, like, it's rotating in the back. Hmm. You know, so you didn't even have access. I guess that's when it exceeded, like, you know, maybe it was 10 or 5 and something like that. And I remember, like, being, because I was in the car with someone, or with several people going down into, driving down, like, the Virginia Beach. And they're rotating. Like, we would all discuss, all right, we're going to put this disc in, we're going to put this disc in, and then we're going to get down with it. And then people just, like, complain about, no, I hate that band, and let's go to the next disc. And then it's funny because it takes even a longer amount of time to rotate the discs.
Yeah, I never was that big a fan of that. I mean, it's cool, but it's not... It's like, that don't impress me much.
It's like, do we really need to live in that lap of luxury, right?
No, I don't need luxury. I just need a car that drives from point A to point B that's a smooth ride that will keep me safe. That's pretty much what I'm looking for. I mean, some people also tint their windows so that they're not seen.
So they're not seen? Yeah. I thought they do that so they can be seen because people are like, oh, look at them. They tinted the windows. And they have
you
like,
can't really see inside.
And they have like the air bubble because they did it themselves.
Oh, God. It's pretty bad.
I see that all the time.
And some people put on their license plate, they put on that like reflective stuff, so if it takes a picture of it, it's supposedly not gonna see your license plate.
Oh, really? They can do that?
Yeah, it's like a clear thing that you... Oh, I think it's illegal. I don't know.
I bet it should be illegal.
I don't know. Maybe it's like a state thing, so you have to check what state you live in to see if it's illegal or not.
But I mean,
it's basically like a clear special... infrared, I don't know what the heck it's called, clear thing that you put over your license plate so that if you went through a traffic light with a camera on it, and let's say you're speeding or went through a red light or whatever, it's supposed to, I guess, hijack the light and deflect it so you won't get any numbers on it.
Man, speaking of that, me and my friend Ulysses were driving around, we're leaving DC, and there was a moment where, because there's a section now, I guess if you're like on K Street, exiting the city, where there's like an underpass. I don't know if you remember, but there's like an underpass that you have to go underneath a bridge, but apparently like a lot of people speed through that, so they like lowered the what's it called, the speed limit of it. Mm-hmm. And then they put the first they did that I've noticed this throughout the years first they did that and then they finally put more they put one camera on one side when you're entering DC, and then a couple years later they added another camera on the other side
when you leave. Yeah.
And
no,
now,
there's actually cameras everywhere that you go into and out of DC.
Yeah.
I think every single entrance, like every possible, like they know when you're coming in the city.
It's legit like 20 miles. It feels like you have to go 20 miles per hour. And that is such a difficult speed to like maintain. But I swear, there was a time when we were all driving like in a pack, and you would just see it above, just go, psh, 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 and we're like, holy crap. And like, you don't know because like you don't know if it's you or not, because it's literally just hitting everybody. You don't know if it's the person next to you. And but I haven't gotten any speeding ticket. I wasn't freaking speeding because I was. But it's like to that point where like I'm on 20, but if I go over one, you know what I mean? Are they gonna get me? But then like I haven't gotten one at all. I mean, unless they send it to me 6 months later.
I mean, just be
on the lookout. But dude, like, it was so confusing. And he was like, "Oh, he probably got that guy, that gentleman ahead of us from that. There's all these flashes, blast. This is very difficult to see." That was like that. See, that's what gets me. That's what gets me scared. But maybe if I spray paint my thing, they won't be able to tell.
I don't think you spray paint it.
Or you spray it with that stuff.
It's not a spray. It's like a little clear.
Oh, it's like a glass.
Yeah,
like
I don't know what it is exactly. It's some type of covering, but you don't spray it.
You just like screw it on.
Yeah, I guess so.
That should be illegal.
I think it is illegal, so I don't know if you should try it.
It's clearly illegal, man. It has to be clearly illegal.
I mean, I've
illegal.
Seen a couple. It's not super common, but I have seen them on cars before. So, I don't know. It just seems like such a messed up thing to even do. It's like, I don't want to mess with the law.
Why not? The law will mess with you.
I mean, if you're not doing anything wrong, then you're not doing anything wrong. But I just don't even want to, like, try to appear to be skiverish about it, like just putting on those things on my license plate.
Do you ever think like the cops look for those Lexuses and those more expensive cars?
I think they sometimes just try to make quota.
They just try to be like, hey, we gotta get two more today, Johnson.
Yeah, pretty much.
Who can we get? Well, I assume though, if people are doing something wrong, then they clearly should get the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I bet maybe they're like chilling in the car and like someone's got to be, you know, they're just waiting. Someone's got to be doing a crime right now. Someone's got to be doing something.
Gotta be someone. They're after you.
I feel like, I don't know. I've never been too much about like the status of cars.
I actually don't understand the Lexus fascination, specifically in the DC area. I feel like it's a bigger deal.
Do people's attitudes change, or they treat people like crappy?
I feel like it's a bigger deal here than other places I've been. Like no one.
Because everyone else
really
has.
I don't really see a Lexus or hear people talk about
everyone
it.
Everyone else places. Has like Ferraris and stuff.
That's no.
Like in LA, if they're over there, they're like just these super fast ass, like in the movie Entourage, everyone just has those badass cars.
I don't know. But I just don't understand like the deal with it. Like I'm sure Lexus is a good car and it's a luxury vehicle. I'm sure there's like.
I still don't know what's so good about a Lexus.
I think it's a status symbol.
But like why?
Because people say I'm successful. Like there's people out there that I know
I'm
of.
I'm Lexusful.
That's one of their actual goals, like life goals, is to have a Lexus. And that's why they're like working hard and I guess saving their money or trying hard to, you know, get a Lexus so that they can be seen as a power symbol.
Do you think Vince McMahon drives around like really super fast in his car?
I have no idea how he drives because
he's a billionaire.
Who knows?
Or he doesn't drive his car at all.
He has a driver. But I guess the Lexus thing, like I personally don't aim for this, but I can see how people in DC area, like say they're at the grocery store and then they click their car and then it's a Lexus and then someone else who doesn't even know them notices like, oh, she drives a Lexus. She must be successful. Like that's, they want like.
As opposed to someone who a lady who's driving like a Tahoe or one of those big trucks, Expedition. And they're like a tiny lady in those big
trucks.
I've
noticed a lot of tiny women driving big trucks around here, too. I think they do it for safety or to, like, appear like, oh, I own the road.
Well, you've driven both. Do you have a preference? Like, if you're to drive a smaller car or a bigger car, and how do you feel in each one of those?
I haven't spent too much time driving a big car, but it did feel definitely like there was a stroke of power that came over me.
Like you can destroy other cars?
Yeah, it's like, oh man, I feel bigger than everyone else.
Because
like it does have that type of presence over you.
Because I do know when like several years ago when I got rear-ended and the car behind me was a smaller car and they had more damage than my car, there was a moment where I was like, okay, I see how it is now. I mean, I have a truck mainly because of my work. If I didn't have that, I mean, I don't know what else I'd do but I do find it enjoyable to have a truck that sort of, you know, I mean, it's meant to do off-road stuff.
I mean, you can definitely, the one advantage the trucks have is that height difference, because sometimes when I drive, you know, little cars, I can't see what's going on in front of the car in front of me. So it could be really backed up, and I'll have no idea how many cars are in front of us. It could even be just four cars.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, man, this is really backed up. And then in reality, like, once you get ahead of that other car, you're like, oh, that was only, like, a couple cars that were going slow.
It sucks when it's just that car. It sucks when it's just that when you're in that line, you know, like when you're in traffic and you're in that line that just happens to be slow and everyone else is driving by, you're like, what the hell's going on, man?
Yeah, there's been multiple times where I've been, like, backed up like that. But then if you have a large truck or something that goes up higher, you can see the whole lay of the land.
Yeah.
Usually, unless you're behind like a big freight truck or something,
but I guess with the trucks though, man, because you don't really go as fast as the smaller cars. That's the one joy of the smaller cars. You get that broom broom. I'm out of here. See you, peace. I'm rich. I'm rich, bitch. Just going out burning the road.
I wonder if somebody has that as a license plate.
I'm rich, bitch.
Yeah.
Someone has to. That's a lot of words though.
But you could, you know, boil
it money sign. I'm money sign.
I'm
bitch.
An S, bitch. I don't know if they'll
what is that?
The B-H. Letter B.
What is bitch? You say it like that.
B-E-E.
Bitch.
I don't know. I know that they don't allow certain words now to be on the plates.
So
I don't know if they'll allow bitch.
I don't think. I mean, yeah.
That's you have to like spell it differently.
Bitch. Speaking of that, holy crap, someone actually on the Taboo Girl, the Taboo documentary actually just now, not just now, but recently he was like, what a stupid bitch. I was like, damn, just go right to the point when leaving comments on there.
Right to the point. So how many comments are you at right now?
I haven't counted, but I'm constantly getting more comments every single day. Like, I swear, like probably like three or four will appear a day. And what's interesting about that when I get those updates is
emailed to you?
Yeah.
You get like direct comments?
No, but they're the YouTube update.
Okay.
It'll be a comment. Someone has left a comment on your film. So I get stuff like that. So I'll like every few hours I'll get like the YouTube thing will pop up on my phone and I'll slide it down on the YouTube app and it'll just say like Johnson 645 says what a whore. But it says it like in quotations.
You should let people know what film we're talking about.
Taboo, Serious About Sex, 2004 documentary that I made back in 2004. Kevin Smith tweeted about it. Won a few filmmaking awards. I put it on YouTube 2011 during the summer of punk because I was like, I might as well do that. I think the reason why I put that out there is because that's when I started Tumblr. And I was like, I need to post something on Tumblr. And just recently, in the past month or so, broke 900,000. So now I'm in this big rush to get this thing. Not a rush, but I'm excited to see if it reaches a million because it'll be the first thing I've ever done. A million, even though I bet millions of people out there in the world like have had a million likes on what other movie, what other thing or cat video or whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever they have. But reaching a million for a documentary is a big deal to me, you know, and that's pretty cool. But man, these comments are freaking ridiculous. I don't even know where they're coming from because I don't know because like this film is not, it's not posted on the Taboo. It's not posted on Taboo's website, TabooRVA.com.
Is there any type of analytics you can do to track down where if there's somebody connected it to another site and a lot of people are going to it?
There are. And on the analytics, there's like they have a map where it has the map of the world and you can like, it'll show you like, not the, yeah, it'll
what
show you
countries
where,
are the most popular. So who are these people?
I haven't looked at it recently, but there's a certain time where a lot of Middle Eastern.
Oh, interesting.
But then I guess now these recently the comments aren't from Middle Eastern people or anything like that.
But they're the ones that are watching.
Yeah. They love that shit.
They do.
They need that stuff over there. But like, you know, so you can see like the dots and where it's being viewed and stuff like that on all your YouTube videos actually. So yeah, so people are leaving these comments and I don't even know what to make heads or tails of because people are making conversations to themselves. They're making comments to each other. They're like, no, you're stupid. No, you think I'm stupid. You didn't do this. You know, and I've only responded twice in the past like 3 weeks just to like just to clarify like if there's a question that's directly to me, like I'll answer that because it's like, oh, cool. They're actually answering a question. Or if to like someone recently posted saying like that's why she I'm trying to choose the right words. She is she's not educated or fully equipped enough to respond to this. That's why your stupid store closed down. And I was like, I had to clarify, like, the store did not close down. And then, like, I'd write simple. I don't want to get into a massive discussion. I'm like, the store is not closed down. And then I put a link to taboorva.com. Mm-hmm. And then the person would have, I guess, would have the gall again, but like, would have the gall to respond, like, yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. I walked by. It's totally closed. And I was like, no. Here's the link again. I think you have your sources wrong. Your sources are misinformed.
You're basically just like, no.
Your sources have been misinformed. I'm like, no. It's on the corner of blah, 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 blah street. And every time I see it, it's always closed down. It's all dirty, filled with diseases and stuff like that. And I'm like, no, there's three locations, and they're only located in Richmond, Virginia. And then they're like, oh, okay, well, the one close to me closed down.
Just like, it's like wrong store, you dumb.
Yeah, and like these people like are commenting with that info, but I'm entertained by that. So pretty much, if we reach a million again, I would love to answer all the questions on just one by one.
So that
if you're okay with it, if you're okay, Carolyn, with doing having that,
and gentlemen, just like in the last episode of the Carolyn and Joe Show, where we discussed the Curls comic strip about 70 degree weather in December and shaving that went viral, we will discuss once Joe's video Taboo Serious About Sex reaches 1 million views, we will discuss all the comments live on the Carolyn and Joe Show, and we would provide our own commentary to go along with the comments.
We can try something in reverse this time too, because since on yours I did a lot of commentary for it. I invite you to join into the conversation of this because it's pretty entertaining. And I'll swear to you, it is not safe for work. Safe for work. It's pretty damn vulgar.
It's an adult superstore.
Yeah, they're talking like sex diseases and everything. And there's lots of discriminating things there. So I open the door for you to jump in that conversation too if it reaches a million.
Yeah, and so also if you haven't seen it yet, you can get some views up if you watch the film yourself or share it with your friends. Get the views going to a million so that we can do that episode. That sounds exciting, and hopefully we'll be able to do that in the new year, 2016. I think that you will reach a million in 2016.
I'd like to think maybe
it's on track to go that way.
Yeah, it's not losing views, so it's definitely
gaining momentum.
It's gaining some weird momentum or something like that, but also, you know, hopefully this will lead for you guys also to check out all the other stuff, because I do the Taboo Girls calendar, which is amazing, because one of the questions was, do you still keep in contact with them, with her? And of course, the only thing I responded with was all the links to all the Taboo Girl the calendar documentaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting. I remember a couple weeks ago you shared with me somebody basically having to explain to a lot of the commenters on YouTube that in 2004, we didn't really have porn all over the internet like how it is now, and people still had to go to a store.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of these people that are making comments, because they were making comments like, why would anyone need to go to a sex store? You can get on the internet for free, you know, like stuff like that. And it's like, they're not educated enough to know that this film was made over a decade ago.
It's in the comments. It's in the description. Like when I saw
people don't know how to read, Joe.
Well, that's the thing. When I saw people commenting like that, then I changed around.
You have to keep in mind that
I said
a lot
made
of,
in 2004.
You have to keep in mind that a lot of the people that are probably leaving you comments are boys who were 5 years old when this happened.
Have you ever had to do a back and forth on the message board? Like,
no, I really don't get involved.
Was there never a time where you're like in a discussion with somebody?
I'm sure there was. I just don't really remember any particular things. I remember having back and forth with people, but it wasn't anything like to write home about.
Like, I remember like back in the day, like maybe it was 97 or 98, you know, we were into wrestling message boards and any type of message boards. And I'm swear to you, nothing good, at least in my experiences, ever came from any of these message boards, like going back and forth. I don't know what it is about it, man, that just there's, I don't know. Even the simple commenting, people can take like a thousand different ways.
Yeah, it's a little much. Speaking of message boards, it has recently come to my attention. Like, and I'm going back a while, but even at like previous jobs, I've had like two jobs ago, But I remember, like, some of my coworkers that would literally, I mean, they get their work done and stuff, but they'd spend 80% of their day, like, looking around on message boards and stuff.
Like in Reddit and all that?
Yeah, like Reddit or, like, atheist discussion boards. Like, that one particular coworker was, like, really into, like, I guess he abandoned his religion and went full atheist. He was looking for answers. I don't know. Like, he always would be on, like, atheist comments and stuff.
Tell me the way. I need something to believe.
I don't know. I need to, like, not believe in anything. Yeah. I have no idea.
You guys, tell me. You who don't believe in anything, tell me what to do.
Yeah. He was always on those. Like, seriously, like, most of the day. And it wasn't just, like, checking in, you know, for a few minutes or whatever. It was, like, a large chunk of the day. It was almost like that was his job. It's really scary to kind of think that there are... And I'm not saying that that person in particular is wrong. I know of other coworkers that they sit and they look on YouTube a lot and then just look at comments.
Just read through the
just
comments.
Just read through the comments for like 2 hours, 3 hours a day.
Which is it's basically still another message board.
Yeah, exactly. But I just personally find it a little odd. Like, it's one thing to like be really into something and be like, oh, I wonder what other people think. Did other people feel the same way as me? You know, like that's why I would check it maybe and I'll breeze through in like a minute, right? But some people.
So do you have like a mental, like do you do
on there all the time?
But do you block yourself? Like for me, like I have to like I'll read a little bit. And then I don't feel like, what's the button do they have down there? More, like, is it just more or read more?
I guess
more?
You just reload more comments.
Yeah, like for me personally, if I had to do that towards anything, that clicks in my head. Like, no, I'm not going to read more.
I mean, you pretty much can get the gist of it by reading maybe like 15.
Like I have to like, no, don't press that button. That's even when people post on Facebook, if it goes more than that, read more. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, fuck that.
I'll only do it if somebody specifically says like, oh man, you got to check out the comments here. Or maybe I'll check it out, but I don't go out of my way to look for it. I just find it amazing, like I'm bringing up the like old coworkers thing because I find it amazing that people spend like more than even 2 hours a day reading what other people write,
because you can get lost in that because you're just like more
it
more,
never
more.
Ends
yeah but I mean but sometimes it does
but I'm talking about like a time management thing too. It's like, wouldn't you rather like even like, let's say you're even done with all your work or whatever, I mean you should be working, but like let's say you're done with it. And, like, man, can't you go, like, look at tutorials? Like, I never had anything, I would, like, learn a tutorial. Like
you'd make some progress in your life.
Yeah, but it's just amazing that you'd spend hours and hours and hours looking at what other people think.
You think a coworker, but now imagine...
Imagine the world.
Well, yeah, and imagine you're talking about this before, like, the kids these days who already have the phones in their faces at age 5 and 6 so they can shut up. They'll be filled with already these message boards and stuff like that. Do you think they're really going to get lost in that?
Yes.
They're going to have
the lost generation.
They feel...
Screen heads.
I feel like because you have the stuff like Reddit, you have stuff like that.
I actually don't even know what Reddit is.
It's just a massive message board.
But, like, what is it? You know when people are like, we need to get this trending on Reddit. Like, I've heard of it, and I think it's, like, a popular thing. Like, if you're on Reddit, apparently, you're, like, famous that day.
Well, have you seen...
I just don't even know what it is. I don't know how you post to it. Like, how do you get on Reddit? People are like, oh, it's prestigious to be on there. I don't know what it is, and I've seen it once or twice, but I've never really investigated what Reddit is.
The best way I can describe Reddit to you is... you know, like, when you just go to, like, on a website where you just go to a directory and it just opens up to more directories?
Mm-hmm.
But instead, this directory is just message boards and comments. And there's nothing...
Do you get on there?
What do you mean? You can just sign on. I'm not on it, but you can just go in and post.
So you have to be a member.
Well, it's just like a member as anything else. You just make a name and you're on.
But I thought it was like a
just
prestigious...
Just like chat roulette, you just make... No, it's not a prestigious thing.
Or maybe when you have but like when a lot everyone of hits is, on there when and everyone everyone's is, like, oh, it's a top page on Reddit.
Yeah, when everyone's talking about it because that's like the world.
So that's really prestigious.
I guess. Internet prestigious.
Yeah.
You know, to the people...
Now you're famous.
People who don't talk to each other face-to-face, prestigious, yeah.
It is interesting, though. Like, I remember a couple of years ago, everyone used to make a big deal about how many Twitter followers you have. But now I feel like it's going... It's like not as important anymore.
You remember there was that time where, or there was that day where everyone went to zero, and people were freaking the fuck out.
Well, I lost some Twitter followers, and I don't
Yeah, see,
it was because anything that I did. No, seriously.
No, because they weren't real. That's why.
Oh, really?
That's what happened.
They
cleaned
it.
They cleaned it out.
Well, because I used to have like over 2,000 earlier this year. Because this was actually recent. It was this fall. I swear, because I was monitoring it a little bit. Because whenever I get close to like a number, I'm like, oh, it's close to 2,000. Like we're like 8 away or something. Yeah. You know. Like I noticed that. I don't check the number every day, but when it gets close, I'm like, oh, only 8 away. I'm like, that's pretty awesome. And I remember doing a couple tweets that were like, 3 more people away from 2,000.
You tweeted that? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, let's do this or something. And then, like, the next day, it went down to, like, 1,005 or something. Like, I basically lost, I don't know, I don't remember all the numbers, but I lost, like, I think 800, maybe it was 1,200.
It's the rapture.
I basically lost, the rapture took away, like, 800 Twitter followers in like a day. And then the weird thing was, then I was like, that's odd. And then I was like, maybe they reset it or something, I don't know. And then they came back for a day and then they left. So I was like, this is
so it's the rapture, it's the followers rapture is what happened.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on? It actually kind of irritated me because I was happy about being really close to 2,000. Like, see, I felt like that was a good achievement.
But it's also, this is the reason why, like, saying like you have that many followers, or this is what not freaks me out, but it makes it also untrustworthy about followers or like hits and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like, that's the same when I was paying really heavy attention to the how many views and how many hits coming off of the Carolyn Joe Show website and the views. Cause I was like, wow, this is like an astronomical amount of like 20,000. You know, I was like, where's this coming from? And then it dropped a little bit and then it kept on going back. And I was like, and then it just kept on going up and down. And I was like, this is just,
it's really inconsistent.
I was like, fuck this. You know, I was like, literally.
Maybe our listeners are just inconsistent.
But like, I just.
But also, the weird thing is, I don't know, I feel like a lot of businesses and stuff, they'll always be like, how many Twitter followers do you have?
But then you
like,
can buy your Twitter. You can buy them, right?
See, I think, yeah, you can, and it's bullshit. And even on top of that, you know, not like I care about numbers or anything, because I actually really don't, but it is interesting online because a lot of people judge you by that. They judge your popularity, and a lot of people might get a book deal or some type of special opportunity because of their followers.
Yeah, but easily.
Because they already know that they're going to hit that many people.
Yeah, but easily just post a titty pic and you'll get like 100,000 followers from even other titty pic girls.
Maybe I'll do that.
I mean, that seems
not my own, but.
Yeah, just draw two circles. Just draw two circles and see what happens. Say, you guys want it? This is what you guys want, huh? Two circles.
You get what you get.
And then you pull out and it's just like the Olympic logo. That's
it. Oh my gosh. But it's crazy because even with, okay, there's a couple people I know that they have a very large Facebook following. Like thousands of people. I don't know all the numbers, but thousands of people. Like anybody would be happy to have that many likes on their page. But then on Twitter, they have the same exact thing that they're promoting. And on Twitter, they might have like 52 followers.
Maybe on
Facebook. But then on Facebook, they have like, I don't know, 500,000.
Maybe
I don't understand that.
Maybe on Facebook, it's getting more shoved down people's throats than on Twitter when it just flies by.
It's just very much of a, to me personally, and I don't understand the numbers, but either they bought their Facebook fans, which I think there's a way to do that.
Yeah.
So they either bought their Facebook fans and like don't really care about Twitter, or they, I don't know. It's all fake. Maybe that's the solution, or I just don't understand how you're promoting the same product. It actually would be, you know, it would be a good experiment is to take top name brands, like we were mentioning Coca-Cola earlier, and see what their Facebook following is and then what their Twitter following is. I would be interested in just seeing those numbers.
I'm not following Coca-Cola, but I bet their Instagram and Twitter is pretty awesome.
But it would be interesting to know which platform, which social media platform
is stronger for them.
Stronger for a lot of top brands. Because there are people, like I was saying, there are people that I know that have really good Facebook presence, but then their Twitter is like 50 people. And that, to me, that's a disconnect. It's like, why would you have so many Facebook fans?
What do they say? That raises a question mark.
I mean, either I think that they paid for their Facebook fans, and I know for sure a couple of them don't care about Twitter.
How many Tumblr followers do they have?
Don't know.
How many retweets on Tumblr?
Have no idea.
Because that's another way of looking. The retweets on Tumblr, you can see that. You're like, holy crap.
Tumblr, I don't understand. I have not given Tumblr my full love, honestly. Maybe that's something I need to improve on for the next year. But my Bailey, I did like the Bailey graphic for Bailey Club. That was like a large number. It's probably my most popular thing I've done on Tumblr.
Yeah.
But then I'll post stuff that I think is better, that I think is cool, and then I don't get that many likes or rebroadcasts. So who knows what people are looking at. And also on Tumblr, I don't use it to my full ability. I think I use Twitter to my full ability.
What do you mean using... what is Tumblr to your full ability?
I don't spend much time with it.
I don't really follow
many people.
All you should do is post and tag, and then people will discover it. Well, it's something
I need to work on then, because
I think Tumblr's strength, its strength is really in its reposting. That's legit. That's how you find out about anything on Tumblr. If you post something and it doesn't get reposted, unless someone goes to your page, no one's gonna find out. So it has to be reposted.
Yeah.
It has to be it has to be a word of mouth.
Well, the Bailey thing on Tumblr did very well, but then on Twitter and Facebook, it did.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how like I'll have one platform that does really well with anything, and then the other ones like they don't really go anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know how that all works. You think that they'd all equally spread somewhat, but with me it's kind of like a really loose bag of anything goes.
Anything goes is the best way though, man, because it's all different. I feel like it is, each one is different demographic at this point.
You're hitting a different set of people for every one of them.
And which is okay. I do enjoy Tumblr. For art-wise, it's really... For visuals, it's really good.
What about Instagram? I thought Instagram was the big visual.
No, but you don't... You get a better visual on Tumblr. Because you can do more than one image. And you can do sound and video and music and...
Okay.
And GIFs.
I do like saying GIFs, but they are technically pronounced as GIFs.
They are?
Yep.
Oh.
The inventor said so himself.
I thought I was pronouncing it ironically wrong.
No, you're right.
I'm right. That's a good deal. That is a good deal. I enjoyed that. So, here we are. We have one show until the end of the year. I think we're going to make it. How about you close it, Carolyn?
Before the rapture takes us, this has been presented by Astray Productions. Go to astrayproductions.com. Joe, our host, you can find him at AstrayJ on YouTube, on Twitter, on lots of other stuff. Instagram, you can find him. He also has a website. It's called joecarbeo.com. And I'm Carolyn. You can find me at carolynbilewski.com. Online on any social media, my handle is at Carolyn Bilewski, and I also have a comic strip called Curls. So check all those fun things out at curls-studio.com/curls. You can listen to the Carolyn and Joe Show on Stitcher and iTunes. And if you don't mind, please leave us a review or comment so that our show can be successful on Stitcher and iTunes.
So we win.
We all win when you comment. And we hope that you are having a luxurious 2015, driving your Lexus, being successful. And we'll see you one more episode this year, and then we'll see you next year! And you're bona fide.
That's right. Just so you guys know, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be excellent to each other. Good night.